Welcome back to another episode of the True Cannacast. Hope you're all happy, healthy, and highly medicated. This episode's going to be about naming strains, so I'm looking forward to this one. There's so many strain names out there these days, so it's kind of an interesting one to discuss. And yeah, it's definitely one of the more difficult elements of being a breeder these days is doing an actual strain name and coming up with something unique, because yeah, parallel thinking is that so many other people that do similar crosses put the same two and two together and get the same name very often now. So there's always an effort to come up with something unique, and yeah, it's become more of a challenge over the years, but I've got a whole list of all the different ones that I've named over the years that I can think of. So what I'm going to do is go through them all and talk about what the genetics are, what the cross was, where I got the seeds from that made the genetics, and how I came up with the name. So that'll give people a little insight into the background of some of the strains that I've made, and also tell you a little bit about my thinking when it comes to names. Some of them are pretty obvious where the thinking comes from. Others are a little bit more random, but yeah, there's quite a lot. Let's get them started. But before we do, let me just talk about a few friends and sponsors of the show. The first company that I want to shout out is Monkey Soil. These are a Spanish brand that I recently got some cocoa from, and I'm currently using their cocoa, which is considerably cheaper than every other brand available in Barcelona that I can find anywhere, and the quality is exceptional. So for those of you out there that are in Barcelona or anywhere else in Spain, if you're able to check out the Monkey Cocoa, definitely grab some of that, because like I said, it's a lot cheaper than all the other brands and the quality's on par, if not better than the others. So I'm super happy with that product. And also the other product that I got from them is their rooting cubes, which are super competitively priced as well. You get a tray of 150, so you end up with a whole bunch per tray. What I normally do is I take like half of those out and then leave some space and just kind of do like 75 in a tray. And then I have another tray that I stick the other 75 in and just give a little bit of space between the cuttings. But I've had amazing success with those as well. So yeah, they're a good brand by the looks of things. And they've got soil and some beneficials and a few other things. So yeah, they're definitely a company worth looking at if you're in Spain and you're able to get access to it. Another company that I'd like to give some love to, as always, is Dragonfly Earth Medicine and their European distributor, Ion Distribution. That's ion-distribution.com is their website. I will tag them on Instagram in a post. So any of you that are looking for good organic soil amendments, whether it's indoor or outdoors. Myself personally, I've used them for outdoors and love them. If you just want to give one of their products a try just to check out the quality of it, I would start with the Natural Mystic, which is their Folia. And yeah, it's an incredible product. Amazing, amazing smell to it as well. So yeah, that's one of the many reasons I love it, but it's also super effective. And yeah, the plants seem to love it. So yeah, check out Dragonfly Earth Medicine. Another great company and sponsor is the Hydroponic Moonshine guys. They're Moonshine Global on Instagram. They've got three amazing products. The first of them is the Moonshine Bio Concentrate, which is their IPM to deal with bugs and pests. Excellent product. That saved me a lot of stress with some bugs that I had to clear off some plants that I took cuttings of outdoors and brought indoors last season. So I've seen the effectiveness up close and personal with that one. And I love that product. It didn't burn my plants. I've used a few other products recently, specifically one from Athena. And if you're not real gentle with that one, you can really fucking burn your plants. So I've had to be careful with things like that previously, but this one, I didn't have no issues like that. And I was able to spray regular enough to clear the spider mites and everything else that was on the cutting. So yeah, I was really impressed with that one. The other thing they've got is the Moonshine Sunshine Concentrate. That's their Folia, which is just a great, great spray. The plants just pray after you give them a hit of that. I only use things like this in veg always. I don't like to spray anything on plants that are in flower, and I'll hit them with some moonshine in veg and it perks them up and gets them thriving. They love a little misting of that when you've got cuttings that are rooting at a different speed. Once the first ones start to show roots, I'll just give like the plants one gentle misting, the cuttings that is, a gentle misting of the Folia, and that gives them that little boost of energy that they don't yellow out by time the last cutting start to root. Because sometimes when you've got a big tray and there's a bunch of different cuttings in it, you'll find that the early ones start to show roots quick, and then the later ones might take a lot longer. And sometimes it's not convenient to be doing it all bit by bit. Like, I like to just put everything up in one go. So often what I'll do is hit them with a little mist in, and that just gives them that little boost of energy so that they don't yellow out. And by the time the slowest rooting cuts have got some roots on them, the first rooting cuts have got a massive root zone and they're still a healthy plant on top of that. So yeah, that's why I love that product. Excellent product. And the other thing from them is the Nutrient Enhancer, which is a great product. The Nutrient Enhancer, yeah, it's a extra little boost to the plant, and I've used that religiously up until recently when I ran out. But yeah, even outdoors I use that one, and yeah, the plants just love it. You can just see the little pickup of health that it gives them. And yeah, just generally a great company. So if you're in the UK, check those guys out. Check out their Instagram. I've always posting their company on the Instagram page, so you can see all their details and find out more. And yeah, shout out to those guys. As always, lots of love goes out to Tresor BCN, Barcelona's finest cannabis club. Yeah, I love that place. Obviously, everyone's got their own favorite, so I say that a little tongue in cheek. But yeah, the city's thriving with wonderful associations, cannabis social clubs, and Tresor's my kind of home spot. So I always like to give them lots of love. They always support the podcast. We've done recording there before, and yeah, they're just awesome crew. Shout out to little Simba, their little Boston Terrier, who's the life and soul of the place now. So yeah, I love passing in there even more now that they've got the dog. They've always got lots of cool things on the menu. They often have lots of My Genetics on the menu. So yeah, I love that place. Love the owner, Pete. It's a good friend of mine. And yeah, it's a very friendly, homely place that he's built there with some incredible artwork from just the most insane variety of artists. So yeah, it's cool. You go there and it's like a gallery of on-wall art. So everywhere you look, there's different pieces from different artists. So it's cool to go there, get baked, smoke something nice off of the menu, have a nice coffee and just sit and look at all the artwork and just, yeah, watch the world go by. Because also there's a window that looks out onto the street, which is real cool because yeah, you don't often get natural light in the club. So when you can get some natural sunlight coming through and just gaze at the world as it goes by, it's quite nice. It's a homely feeling. I love going there. So yeah, if you're ever in Barcelona and you want to catch up for a smoke, give me a shout a few days before and I'll free up some time and we'll meet up at Tresor and yeah, we'll have a smoke. So lots of love to the Tresor crew. Check them out on Instagram. I'll do a little post and tag them so that you can get all of their details. Another person that I want to shout out is a company called Custom Dank. If you check them out on Instagram, their Instagram's Custom Dank and their website is customdank.co.uk. These guys do everything from Mylar bags to grinders and stash boxes, rolling trays. They can pretty much print your logo onto anything you want. They've got a whole variety of really cool, good quality merchandise. I got a couple of grinders from them with the Trucana Cast logo and my Trucana Genetics logo, and they came out amazing. And if you go on their website, you can see all the different options. And yeah, they got some really cool merchandise. I'm going to get my merchandise done from them soon. And yeah, I'm real impressed with the quality. So whether you just want to get one done for yourself or whether you've got a brand and you want to buy a bunch, you can get as little or as many as you want from them. So that's what makes it great. There's not no like minimum order. Obviously you pay more for getting less. So if you want one grinder done, it's going to cost you more, but the prices are still incredible just for one to get printed. So when you look at it, you're not really paying no money for the customization because the prices are so competitive that when you're getting like grinders, for instance, getting them with the logo just works out pretty much the same as if you was to go out and buy one from someone else's brand. So it's just really cool, even if you just want to get one done with your own logo for yourself, or just a few for you and your friends, or if you just want to get 100 for a business, it's an awesome company. So yeah, check out Custom Dank and yeah, see all the different things that they've got available. I'll do a little post on Instagram and let you know what exactly their details are in case you can't remember this, because yeah, you know, people forget things. But yeah, it's Custom Dank, CustomDank on Instagram. Hello. Okay, then let's get this one started with the naming of strains. The first ever strains that you crossed, or that I crossed, like a lot of people, I guess, is all based on what your stable of genetics is at that time. Because in my circumstance, before I ever decided to do any breeding, I was just collecting a stable of plants to give me a good variety of flavors and effects. So yeah, I had a good bunch of plants that I had mother plants of that I'd collected and selected from different seeds at that time. So the first crosses were those mothers that I'd built up over the last however many years, hit to a chem dog back cross. And the Chem, it was a ChemD back cross, second back cross project. And basically what that means, the BX is back cross. So what it was is for that seed run, it was done by a company who I won't mention because the guy's a rat, so I don't want to give him too much credit. But basically what it was Sensi Seeds, Hindu Kush. Yeah, Sensi Seeds, Hindu Kush. And he hit that to the ChemD and then done two back crosses to the ChemD. And it was the second back cross, the seeds from those that I did a selection from. And those males were then hit to my stable of females. So let me go through what some of the females were. And then we'll talk about what the names for each ones were. And yeah, a little bit of detail on them all. So one of the strains that I was, well, two of the strains that I was running at the time are from a seed company called Pisces Genetics. And this was before it was ever officially a seed company. This is when it was just a friend from IC Mag called Jimmy Nitz, who's one of the best growers I've ever come across. Really incredible grower. And the seeds that he made changed my mind on fem seeds completely, because they were the best fem seeds that I'd ever grown out. And to this day, they still stand up to the best of the best, because yeah, he done good quality work with the actual making of the seeds. And he had a lot of access to elite genetics. So he done some incredible crosses real early on. And I think it was maybe around 2008, something like that. I think it would have been maybe earlier, maybe 2007, 2008. Yeah, around that time, I got a bunch of seeds from him. And the two ones that I grew out were Trainwreck crossed to the San Fernando Valley OG Kush, which is the plant that he reversed. And then the other one was the ChemD pollinated by the reversed San Fernando Valley OG Kush. And those two strains are epic, to say the least. One of them has become famous and is world renowned now, and everyone's used it. And the Motor Breath 15 is a very, very famous cut. And yeah, Motor Breath is what the ChemD cross to the San Fernando Valley OG was later called. And that was one of the things I ran. And I had an incredible, incredible keeper from that. Yeah, to me, it was better. It smoked and was more tastier than the ChemD or the SFV. So it was one of those occasions where the offspring was putting out things that were on the level or superior to some of the parents. So that was an incredible one, the Motor Breath. And then the other one, I'm not sure what the official name for it was ever given, but what it was the Trainwreck crossed with the SFV OG. And yeah, Trainwreck is like what I hear people associate with Jack Terps. So it's kind of like lemony, that kind of thing. But in the cross with the SFVOG, it gave out limes, no lemon whatsoever. It was the most lime smelling and translated to like pungent flavor, like tongue coating lime flavor that was just mind-blowing. Honestly, that's one of the cuts I regret losing more than anything. It was insanely good. I love that cut. So those are the two things from Jimmy Nitz that I had. And when it comes to naming those, what we done is, because we were crossing a chem to a chem cross SFV, which is chem OG, we just went with a simple name that hadn't been used at that point, but has been used by other people since. And I can assure you, like at this time, we would search the internet and look for these things, and no one had come up with this name, but it's an obvious one really. So it doesn't surprise me that people have jacked the name, or that people have come up with the name. But yeah, the name that we come up was with simply OG Chem. So it said what it was, quite simply, it's OG and Chem. So whereas there was OG Kush, we figured, well, this is predominantly going to be Chem, but it's going to have an element of OG Kush as well. So OG Chem was the name for that one. And that was quite an epic strain. I got to be honest, the OG Chem on IC Mag was grown out by some real fucking legendary forum growers who are doing big things now. And yeah, it was getting the recognition from some of those growers from San Francisco, from the East Coast, from Northern Cali, from Colorado. There were all these growers all over like America that were dealing with the elite cuts themselves. And when they were growing out this cross and other crosses, to get their respect and to get the recognition from them was a big thing. And the OG Chem was one that, yeah, that one's like epic and legendary. People still use that one to this day. If you check out People Under the Stairs Genetics, he's got some insane crosses with the OG Chem. That guy is an old IC Meg G. And yeah, People Under the Stairs Genetics is epic in what he's done with the OG Chem. And just in general, he's an incredible breeder and a great guy. So definitely worth checking him out. The other one with the Trainwreck Cross SFV, when we hit that with the Chem, what we decided was to go with Chemwreck Kush. So the Chemwreck Kush, it rolls off the tongue well, and it says what it is in the genetics. Because at this stage, a lot of the time, people are really looking for these genetics. You know, there were not a lot of people breeding with Chem. Even Trainwreck wasn't heavily, it was heavily passed out, but it wasn't like everyone had Trainwreck crosses available. So these things were sought after, much like the OG Kush. So when you're naming things, a lot of the time back in the day, like pre-2010 we're talking about, it made a lot of sense to just name things combinations of what the genetics were, if you possibly could, because that's what the kind of growers who were buying the seeds, that's what they were looking for. It's not like how the market is today, where it's dominated by the people that are buying the flower. They're dominating the names. And that's why like other things are more dominant, like candy names that don't necessarily have any relevance to the flavor whatsoever. They just market very well and come up with very cool names, and like it sounds good, but it doesn't really bear no relation to the actual flavor or smell profile. A lot of the time it's just a cool name with a cool branding. But back in the day, you would often like be better off naming to give an idea of what the genetics were. So Chemwreck Kush rolls off the tongue well. So that was the name of that one. And it's pretty simple, the thinking behind it. It doesn't take much really. That's the truth of that one. And then another one that I'd done, which was, I can't even remember why we did this, but we called a strain Secret Recipe and we just didn't release the genetics of it for a long time. But there was no real reason for it. We just, I think it was like one of those stone decisions, me and my business partner at the time on the seed company that these were released through. I think we just like come up with this decision to not release what the genetics was, and then later on down the line we released and told people what it was. And what it was a feminized cross of Original Diesel, a cut called Original Diesel, which I think might also be called like Headband or Day Wrecker, or it's got some other names. I'm not sure if it's the same cut, but this Original Diesel was very different to the East Coast Sour Diesel cut. This one was actually more fuely, where the East Coast Sour Diesel, or the Sour D that I'm used to, has got this sweeter, more pungent, more delicious kind of Moorish kind of smell, whereas the Original Diesel was more of an acrid, actual fuely funk to it, but an amazing plant. And that had been pollinated by a reversed abusive OG Kush, and I had a keeper from that was just the most ridiculous size buds. It was like it yielded insanely, one of the biggest yielding plants I'd ever grown. And because it was like cushy bud, it was like amazing to have huge buds like that. They were, I'm talking like the size of your arm, like it was huge. They were big fat buds and big long colas. So we hit that with the Chemdi, and that was called Secret Recipe. And like I say, just the intrigue at the time, people grew it out and made guesses, and it was a fun little thing to do on the forums, and people were enjoying like growing it out, and a lot of people got some amazing results from that, and everyone was getting insane yields. So yeah, that one was quite a cool cross, and a lot of people got real good results from that. Another one, this one, yeah, there was quite a lack of imagination in this one, if I'm honest. Looking back at it, I'm not sure if this is one of my favorite names, to be honest, because it kind of baffles people. Like, people aren't sure how to say it, but I thought it was simple. It's called UKHEM, and it's spelled UKHEM. And the point is that it's UK because it was made in the UK, and then the sound was chem. So it was UKHEM, and it was basically an OG Kush S1. One of my friends had got some OG Kush S1 seeds that were made by Oregon Kid, and he grew those out. And one of the cuts that he selected, we had that at the time, and that got hit with the ChemD and, well, the ChemD backcross, and we decided to call that one UKHEM. So yeah, the UKHEM was quite an interesting one. It was weird back then because no one really knew what OG Kush was in the UK, and that made it quite a popular one on this side of the pond as well. So yeah, that was a quite an interesting one, because back then OG Kush was like really blowing up. For me, I'd been around Chem more than I'd been around OG Kush. But at this stage, the cuts of the OG Kush were starting to get around as well. And I was becoming a lot more familiar with Kushes and, yeah, getting a love for Kushes. So it was cool to work with that S1 cut. It reminded me very much of the SFV, the San Fernando Valley OG Kush. So I always wondered if the SFV was an S1 of the Ghost OG. So, yeah, that one was the UKHEM. Another one, this is one of my favorites ever, and just a simple name, but a great name, and it worked perfectly, and it holds a special place with me because it was my first significant selection of a plant crossed to my first male selection. So yeah, this one was special, and that's the Chemy Jones. So that's Chemy Jones, C-H-E-M-M-Y, Jones, which was Casey Jones crossed with the Chem. So yeah, that one was amazing results. Super love that plant. I've got some of those around still. I'm gonna maybe run those, hopefully they germinate, and I'd like to do some F2s of that line and bring it back, because yeah, that was a firm favorite in Colorado. If you search the hashtag and look on Instagram for Chemy Jones, there's some amazing results of that in Colorado. So from back in the day, I guess the people that were growing it out on IC Mag and a lot of the early customers really blew that one up in Colorado, and it's got a good reputation, and there's a lot of places that sell it, and there's some like crazy test results on them, which I know the test results were always inflated, but it's still impressive to see that they're getting respectable numbers, and also some of the pictures are really impressive. So yeah, it's always interesting to look up that one and see what people have been posting. I'm a fan of the Chemy Jones myself. It was one of those ones that I grew out and had a keeper of myself. And yeah, I flowered out a good few times before I had some issues and had to get rid of everything. But yeah, that was a special one. Another one, which is one of my favorites ever. I'll be honest, this is one of my favorites. It's so simple. It's so obvious. And we were the first people to do it. It got copied by my buddy Milo at Big Buddha Seeds, but I forgave him for that. He just kind of parred it off onto his business partner when I approached him about it and like blamed his business partner. But I love Milo. He's too nice a guy, so I couldn't be angry at him for long. And that one is Cheese Dog.
And when I done it the right way. I done it DOG. And then at least when Milo done it, he changed it and made it DAWG. But yeah, Cheese Dog was the one that I come up with. And I love that name. It was an amazing strain. The Cheese Dog has got a special place in my heart because it's one of the most potent things I've ever fucking grown. That's for certain. Like, and one of the best experiences I had was when I come out of prison. I had been away for 6 months and hadn't smoked for the whole 6 months. And the first thing I smoked when I come out was some Cheese Dog that my cousin had grown and left for me. And despite my best friend who was looking after it, having smoked most of it, he did leave enough for me to actually have some. So I rolled a joint of that when I come out. And I swear to you, this one joint lasted me 2 days. I started to smoke it and I was in the same mode of how I would normally smoke, where I'm just smoking a joint till it's finished. And about four tokes into the joint, I was like, oh shit. I had to register who's in the room because I thought to myself, oh fuck, I think I'm going to have a whitey here. What have I just done to myself? I'm like, I need to put this joint down. And lucky I put that joint down after like four tokes, because I swear I was toasted out of my mind. I had to have a little breather and like collect myself, get a little bit of sugar into my body and have some munchies. Coco's got something to say. What's up, Coco? Coco's barking at someone. She's going to go and see what's happening. Someone must have made a noise outside. So that's our obligatory appearance from Coco. She's back to full health for any of you wondering. She's definitely back to her full health. So yeah, I'm not sure if you can hear all the noise that she's making, but yeah, she's now woke up. But yeah, where was I at? That was it, Cheese Dog. So yeah, Cheese Dog, amazing strain. That's another one. I've still got a little bit of stock of that and I would like to grow that one out and do some F2s and rework and re-release that one. So that's going to happen, hopefully, if I can germinate some of those seeds and get the results from them that I want. So definitely keep an eye out for that one. Another one, which was a wicked cross that I really loved, and I ended up using this one when I test grew it and doing crosses further down the line, which is Lemchem. Lemchem was a Lemon Larry OG cut that I got from a good friend on IC Mag on the forums. And his name is The Herbalizer. He's a big forum legend and a great fucking guy. Yeah, he's awesome. What a fucking character and what a grower. And yeah, super passionate about it. And he gave us this cut of Lemon Larry OG. So when we hit that with the chem, the lemon chem just made perfect sense. So Lemon Larry OG and chem back cross became Lem Chem. And yeah, later down the line, I crossed the GDP with Lemchem and created Grape Lemonade. So yeah, that's a little like history and name connections there. Lemchem cross with GDP became Grape Lemonade because it had the lemon and the grape. So yeah, that's how my mind often thinks with things and connects them. And sometimes you can kind of combine names and it tells the story without being too much of a mouthful. You don't want it to be like five words to try and just, you don't want the name to sound like a description, but it's nice if the name is descriptive and gives some kind of signal to the grower as to what it is. And eventually, I guess their smoker at the end. And that's one of the things that I'm having to adapt to really now, is to really think about what the end buyer as a smoker, what they want. And for me, it's a hard one because I want to be as honest as possible. So, you know, when you're like giving a flavor description, often those flavor descriptions are not everything in the pack. You know, like people will say like, oh, it's strawberry banana, and it's like the chances of you finding anything with strawberry and banana in that pack is few and far between. You might get banana terps throughout it, and you might get one pheno that does have a little banana and a little hint of strawberry, but not all of them would have that. So I'm often reluctant to give like actual flavor profiles or names unless it's super consistent. And yeah,
it's about trying to like give a good name, but be as honest as possible with the name as well, and not to deceive, because even things like when I've called strains like Purple Valley Cooks, not every strain is like, not every plant goes purple, but what you do get consistently is those purple flavors that you associate with purple. So it's a strain that has purple flavors like lavenders, Parma violet, grapes. It's got all of those kind of purple flavors throughout as an undertone to all of the plants. So it's just a variation of like just different purples layered with like chem hints and a cookie base. So yeah, that's like the Purple Valley Cooks, for instance. The next lot of things that I'd done after the Chem D Backcross, I'm trying to think if there was any other ones that were in that first batch of the chem crosses, but I think that's pretty much all of them I've gone over. So the next ones were the GDP Reversal. The market at the time was crying out for feminized seeds. So when it comes to making feminized seeds, the first thing that I ever done was the GDP Reversal. And the company that I'd done at the time, we both done GDP Reversals. But what would happen is that he liked to name strains himself. So it was like I was only, because I joined his company, the first lot of chem back crosses, because that was all my work, I got to name them all. But then later on down the line, he got like real weird about me naming anything that he created. He would want to name it himself rather than just want the best name for it. So what would happen is that I would have to try and like gently suggest good things if he was coming up with bullshit ideas. But mostly I just named the things that I made myself and that I released. And yeah, there were some of the ones, like for instance, Lemchem. When I did the GDP Reversal, the Lemchem was when I'd grown out the Lemchem myself, I kept a keeper from it, from that batch of seeds, from when I'd done the testing of it. I kept a keeper. And then because the next project was the GDP Reversal, I hit that Lemchem keeper with the GDP and created Grape Lemonade. And Grape Lemonade was one that I held on to because it was only a small batch. So because that was a small batch, that one got released like a real, real, real limited amount through Seed Bay, or maybe even Seed Boutique. I know it was one of the websites associated with IC Mag. So yeah, the Grape Lemonade, which I've used to make a few things going on from there, but that was made with the GDP Reversal. Another one was I hit the Grand Doggy Perps. That's one that I forgot to tell you about. Yeah, from the Chem D, I also hit the GDP with the Chem Backcross and made a strain called Grand Doggy Perps. So the Grand Doggy Perps, I did another test grow of the Grand Doggy Perps and did some selections from that. And that was one of my favorite things ever, the Grand Doggy Perps. I loved that one so much. That had so much of the GDP, but lots of chem undertones and big yields. So that was an amazing plant. I got some real good pictures of that dug away somewhere. I'm going to have to pull them out. And yeah, basically I made a purple project by reversing the GDP and crossing that to the Grand Doggy Perps. And Purple Project was one that I released officially through Pure Sativa in a limited amount very early on when I first launched True Canna Genetics. And before that, it was available through Seed Bay and Seed Boutique and IC Mag website. So yeah, that was that one. Another one, the motor breath that I had, I actually used the motor breath and hit that with the GDP as well. And that one I called purple halitosis. The reason I called that one purple halitosis is because if you know chem dog and you know the motor breath, and if you get a chem dog pheno, it is literally smells like vile. Like it's so pungent, but it's crazy how like amazing the smell is, but pungent, but it's super aggressive and it's almost like bad breath. And with the purple element to it, and the GDP, purple halitosis, was the name that I came up with. It's like, in today's market, purple halitosis is not going to get many fans, I don't think. That one's doesn't quite fit with all the candy names, and is quite like, huh, what the fuck? People think, what the fuck is that? Like, they're not sure if that's something that they want. So yeah, the purple halitosis was an interesting one, a bit out there. So like, for today's market, for sure. With the purple project name, that was literally what I was calling that, and it just stuck as a name. I was referring to it as a purple project because it was like a back cross to an already GDP cross. So I was like, well, this is a kind of purple project. I'll call it that until I come up with a name. And then the purple project just stuck, and it was quite a cool name. So that's why that one ended up staying. And yeah, I'm glad that that one did stick, the purple project name. Another one that I'd done was Purple Cheddar. Purple Cheddar, I think, quite honestly, without no exaggeration, I'm the first person to call any strain anything cheddar. You know, before, people are like, there might have been a couple of cheese crosses, but there weren't lots of cheese crosses around, and no one had done the spin of calling something cheddar that was a cheese cross. And when I crossed the GDP to the cheese cut, the bright side cut of the cheese, the Exodus cut, our good friend Brightside had sourced and given to us, that one there was an amazing cross. Purple Cheddar was a super special one. One of my friends had like a whole bunch of those seeds. He had like hundreds and hundreds off of me and run them. And I would get to go through the bags of all the results. Coco's now grabbing a plastic bottle and destroying that in the kitchen. So I'm going to pause for a second. Okay, back to what I was talking about, the purple cheddar. Yeah, I used to get amazing batches of purple cheddar, but because the guys were just growing out hundreds of them, they weren't taking any clones. So I would just go through the bags and pick out like the best bits. And that was where I really found some amazing flavors. And that's what made me want to grow that one out later on when I came over to Barcelona. And there was a specific like pheno that I called a strawberry Nesquik pheno. And it just stinks like strawberry Nesquik and cheese. It's like the most incredible smell. So yeah, the purple cheddar is super special and a firm favorite of mine. And yeah, purple cheddar, I think that was the birth of cheddar strains. Like, that was definitely one of the first I remember out there, and yeah, definitely one of my favorites over the years. Another one that I'm quite fond of, and I really loved some of the results from back in the day from some of the test grows I'd done. I got some beautiful, really unique, like crazy great Merlot, like real purple, deep, fake, like Jolly Rancher grape to real grape, and yeah, wine tastes. And yeah, it was a real crazy, beautiful mix from it. And that was the Rainbow Jones, which was my Casey Jones hit with the GDP. And yeah, the Casey Jones hit with the GDP, the plants were so colorful, the Rainbow Jones just made a perfect sense for the name. So yeah, that was the thinking behind that, just a rainbow of colors, because you did get like reds, purples, pinks, like little hints of blues, and there's just beautiful, beautiful autumn colors when it would ripen up and come towards the finishing point. So yeah, Rainbow Jones, that was a firm favorite back in the day, and definitely one of my favorites to smoke, because the GDP can be quite narcotic. The GDP cut itself to smoke wasn't that nice. It was very one-dimensional and like heavy narcotic. I can imagine it's very good for like things like restless leg syndrome, like these kind of things where you need to relax, or like muscle spasms, things like that. But to smoke on its own, it was a bit too narcotic for me to be smoking day to day. So when you would cross it with other things, it would unlock quite a lot, because you'd still get that potency, but it would bring in some other things. And the Casey Jones having the tie and the sour diesel in it made it a beautiful cross with some really unique flavors and some a real beautiful effect. That was what was real, probably the best thing about the Rainbow Jones was the effect. And then obviously it was just beautiful flavors and a beautiful plant to look at. So yeah, Rainbow Jones kind of spoke for itself, colorful, little bit of Casey Jones in it. So Rainbow Jones, name's pretty self-explanatory. And then another one at the time, I never released this one. I think I maybe let a couple of packs go on Icy Mag. Two packs actually got sold. I think I auctioned two packs on Icy Mag on Seed Bay at one point. And that's the Terpzilla. And when I auctioned the seeds off, I hadn't even named it yet. And Terpzilla is the New York City Diesel crossed with the Granddaddy Purple. And that one, the reason I went with Terpzilla is because, quite simply, terps were something and terpenes were something that I was becoming more and more aware of, and they were kind of like a buzzword at the time, because this is maybe 2011. Yeah, around 2011, I think this would have been 2012 at the very latest by the time I come up with this name. But it was in that period there. And Terpzilla just had a wicked sound to it. It's still one of my favorite names ever and one of my favorite strains and one of the most successful strains. And it was quite a popular one, as well as being successful in a lot of cups. It's loved by a lot of people because, yeah, that one's just got crazy tropical flavors. And yeah, still to this day, one of my favorites. That when the first Icy Mag cup placing that won was a second place win from my cousin who had never grown before. And yeah, he just followed instructions with a passion, really enjoyed the new hobby, and entered an amazing entry and came second place. So yeah, the Terpzilla's done well over the years. Later on, it won first place with Bezel 710. He grew it out exceptionally well and took home a first place at the Icy Mag Cup that was here in Barcelona. So yeah, the Terpzilla's a special one. I've hit that to a few things over the years, but the one that I've got available currently is the Citrus Valley, and that's the Terpzilla crossed with the Chem Valley Cooks. That one gives out a lot of, you get either a grapefruit kind of citrus pheno, or you get like tropical fruit hints from it. So yeah, the Terpzilla breeds some wicked flavor into things. Another strain around the same time that I named, you can tell by the name that I gave it, was Terparella. So yeah, the Terparella, that was the Super Silver Haze and Chocolope crossed from DNA Genetics. It was actually Chocolope crossed Super Silver Haze. It was a reverse Super Silver Haze. That's the only seeds that I've ever actually released that weren't made by myself. They were made by an Icy Mag friend. He won first place making hash the Icy Mag from that strain in the hash category, and had a bunch of those seeds. So when I launched True Canada Genetics, he needed to move those. And because I'd seen the results from it and seen how good it was, I got a bunch of those and decided to release those while I worked on some other stuff of mine. Because yeah, at the time I'd done a lot of moving between the UK, Amsterdam and Barcelona. So launching a company, I started fresh after splitting from my old business partner after the GDP project. It was around the time of the GDP project that I moved away from my previous company and started fresh. And when I started fresh, some of the strains that I hadn't released through the other company, I released through True Canada Genetics in limited amounts. And then I started to do new projects. I started completely fresh and wanted to kind of move away and not remake none of those things. I was trying to salvage some kind of friendship from the business relationship side of things when we split, but sadly that didn't work and there was too much resentment. And yeah, but at the time I decided to go in my own direction. And by doing that, I grabbed those seeds off of my friends so that I had some FEMs that would meet the market demand at the time. And I sold those along with my first three regular seed releases. And the first three regular seed releases were Broadleaf Black, Broadleaf Black was a Black Domina cross SFV Chem cross. What I did for this whole new project is, because I loved the Chem Back cross previously that I'd grown out and used a male from and been a fan of, I was a super fan of Chem, always have been and always will be. So I had some San Fernando Valley OG Kush crossed to the Chem BX2, which is the same BX2 line that I had used previously, except for this time hit to the San Fernando Valley OG Kush. So for me, that's perfect. I, of all the things, I love Kush and Chem, the way they make me feel, aside from the terps being beautiful. Of the two, I'm probably more of a fan of the funk of Chem, but I love when the two combine. But as far as feeling, the way OG Kush and Chem both hit you is a standout effect. It's a beautiful, warm, fuzzy, hugging a bud, like cozy effect that I like. It increases my feeling of wellness. And I just, they seem to be well received by my cannabinoid receptors. So those strains I love especially. And I decided to select a male from that line and then hit some females that I'd selected from some other things, as well as hitting the triangle Kush. The Broadleaf Black, what I did with the Broadleaf Black, because it was such a variation in those seeds, I actually did an open pollination to, like, I think it was maybe 4 or 5 different females. And then when I put the seeds into vials, what I did is I divided up a few seeds from each different plant so that there was a mixture of all the different phenotypes and all the different vials. So that way everyone got a real mix. So there was a lot of variation in that one, but some real, real interesting plants. And yeah, some amazing things were found from that. One of my cousins, Raw Phantom on Instagram. Fucking hell, I forgot the name of Instagram for a moment there. Yeah, Raw Phantom on Instagram. He found the most incredible, incredible black pheno of the Broadleaf Black. And that was the thing. There was plants in there that went black, jet black, like everything, the bud, the leaf, everything would go black. And there were real broadleaf plants, like big, fat, amazing indica leaf plants in there. So that's why I went with the name Broadleaf Black, because it was kind of descriptive of the plant, and also it talked about the black plants that was quite like unusual at the time. Now there's quite a lot of plants that are purple and go black, and it's a lot more commonplace, but the Broadleaf Black, when I originally done it back in like 2012, it was a bit more of a rarity to find plants that would go black. So yeah, that one got a name for those reasons. The other one from that batch of seeds, like from that project with the SFV Chem Mel, the next one was Sagan Star. Sagan Star was a Sensi Star cross to the Chem SFV. And the reason I called it Sagan Star is just naming it after Carl Sagan, because he was a cannabis user and advocate and all round interesting and top person. So yeah, I like the idea of calling it Sagan Star as a little nod to Carl Sagan. That's one of the more rare occasions where I choose like a reason to name something other than just the genetics or the flavor profile. So the Sagan Star was after Carl Sagan, and the star element seemed perfect because of who he was and what he did, and Sensi Star Cross. So it seemed the perfect opportunity to call the strain that. The other crosses that I'd done were the Truth. I decided on calling the Triangle Kush cross to the SFV Chem. I called that one the Truth. It just seemed the perfect name for me, who online was called True Cannabis. My seed company's called True Cannagenetics. And when I went through all of these plants and I like grew them all out, I knew like, oh, this one is the truth. Like, this was my favorite. This was the best of the best out of them. So yeah, that's why I called the truth what I did. And yeah, that one went on to prove itself as being special and winning the High Times second place. So it was definitely a worthy name. It lived up to the name. It was it had to do well after giving it that name. So I'm glad that it has performed so well and been such a firm favorite of so many people. Another one that I made during this time was Chem Valley Cooks. That one, pretty self-explanatory. It was a San Fernando Valley Chem cross cookies. So Chem Valley Cooks says all three genetics, explains what it is. And yeah, it's one of the more simpler, says what it is on the label kind of strains that explain the genetics. Coco's trying to antagonize Casey. Okay, I've got Coco to calm down now so that I can record the podcast without her in the background fucking around. Yeah, so that was Chem Valley Cooks that we were speaking about there. The other one that I'd done at that time is Granddaddy Terps, the GDT, Granddaddy Terps. Like I said, I was obsessed with terps at the time. It wasn't such a played out term in 2011, 2012. Back then, it was like a fresh new word. So I really made the most of it and called a whole bunch of different strains, things with the name terps in it. So yeah, Granddaddy Terps was a purple cheddar hit with the SFE Chem male. So yeah, I just thought it was a nice play on words for a granddaddy dominant strain, because the purple come through really good in the purple cheddar that I selected. So being that the purple crossed over well, I just thought Granddaddy Terps is a cool name, cool play on words, and that's why that one got chosen. So yeah, that's the story behind Granddaddy Terps. That one's pretty rare. I've only ever given out, I think, one pack of seeds of that one, maybe a couple. But yeah, the only person that I've really given it out to that I can think of off the top of my head is Burner. So I'm curious what he finds from those, because he was always a big fan of the purple cheddar when I saw him. So yeah, I'm curious about that one. The last of the terp strains that I named during that period, and the last one from this little batch of crosses that I'd done, was a strain called Terp Life. And for those of you that know, I've also got a t-shirt brand called Terp Life. So yeah, I had a strain called Terp Life and also named my t-shirt brand the same thing. And the Terp Life was Terpzilla crossed to the SFE Chem male. So yeah, the Terpzilla, like I say, super special plant, and that cross to the SFE Chem was, yeah, real special, very, very special. I'm sad that I lost my keeper of that back in Amsterdam. Had a bunch of issues trying to get things to root and then be sent to Barcelona. So yeah, I never got none of those genetics over here, sadly, and lost some incredible keepers. But I do have a small vial with those seeds in still. So I've got a limited amount to go through. And at some point in the not too distant future, I'm hoping that I will get into those and select something special. Yeah, I'll throw up some pictures of a couple of those keepers from the Terp Life, because there was a couple of really standout ones, but there was one in particular that just looked incredible. So I'll pull up the photos of that one and show you what I'm talking about. And yeah, that is the first generation of seeds and strains that I made at True Canna Genetics with the SFE Chem male. And also we've covered pretty much all the ones from my previous seed company as well. So I think that pretty much covers up to that period in my breeding. So what I think I'm going to do is, we're coming up to an hour now for the podcast, and I've been told that the podcast going much more than an hour, it's hard for people to keep their attention. So for that reason, what I'm going to do is I'm going to split this episode up into two parts. And then what I'm going to be talking about in the next part is all of the breeding projects that I've done since I came to Spain. And that includes some truth crosses, both feminized and regular, then a bunch of Chem Valley Cooks crosses. I've also done the Brittany, which is a Turparella cross Chem Valley male that I used. So that one was a little bit different. But yeah, there's a couple of, let's say, more projects that have been done that I'll discuss all of the names and go through the thinking behind those and talk a little bit about all of those strains in the next episode. So it's been a pleasure as always. I hope you enjoyed this. If you've got any questions, hit me up and yeah, let me know. And I love people's suggestions as well. I've had a few good ones over the years where people have given me good suggestions for strains. And yeah, It's quite a challenge to find unique ones. That's the hardest thing, but occasionally something real clever and real unique comes up. But yeah, let me know. I'm curious. What kind of things do you look for in a strain name? It's one of the things I always wonder from people. So I might do a little poll on Instagram, but definitely when you hear this, hit me up and tell me, like, what kind of things do you look for in a name? Are you looking for flavor descriptions, plant descriptions, a funny name, something with a good sound to it? Like, what is it that catches your eye or your ear when it comes to genetics? And it's got to be something other than just hype names. You know what I mean? Like, at the moment, people can just cross things to gelato and then just call it a million different variations of gelato. So I'm thinking, like, more on a creative side, like what really catches you, because the Cookie Fam, the way they've branded and the names that they've used and gone for have been incredible. And some of the branding in America with like Skittles and the other things like Runts and things like this, the names aren't exactly creative, but the marketing and the branding's done really well. So they've done excellent with those. But at the same time, it's not original to call something else with a Z on it. So on that basis, it's not exactly fucking rocket science. And I think it's more about the people doing the marketing behind it and also good genetics, because you can have the best name in the world. If it's not good genetics, then no one's going to care. But yeah, as far as naming things other candies, that one I tried to avoid, and the reason being because you get people like Skittles suing the seed people Skittles for using the name. So I think it's definitely a lesson to be learned from that for everyone, and to use a little bit more creativity with names. But yeah, hit me up, let me know what kind of things you like from your names and what catches your ear. Anyway, it's been a pleasure. Take care, guys. I'm rambling now. Peace.
That's the heaviest shit I ever smoked, man. I mean, I smoked a lot of shit before, man. But goddamn, man, that's heavy.